Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I did break down and turn the air conditioning on last night, at least temporarily. I turned it off this morning because it cooled off. But 80 on Sunday sounds pretty nice, I would say. It felt like I was off for like a week because we were here last week, but then I took Monday and Tuesday off, and then we had baseball yesterday. So this is sort of like my first day back on the air.
It was a nice little vacation for me, too.
You got a respite. I want to tell just a quick story here because of the person involved. And just maybe expose potential humiliation for myself, which did not happen. So the reason I took the day off was I was invited by a guy named Jeff Drew. We'll call him the King because I found out Tuesday at Bell Reef Country Club, that's what people call him. They call him the King. Jeff's been on with Charlie. He's very involved in first responders, and he's a character. But he invited me and Tom Ackerman to play a round of golf at Bell Reef Country Club with the Wizard. With Ozzie Smith.
And very cool.
Yeah, the invite comes in a couple of months. I don't know Jeff. Now we're BFFs, right? Bill Kaufman, who is a friend and a sponsor from Banner Construction, took me out last fall after the PGA. I'd never played Belle Reve, and we had a great time. So he's like, do you want to play with Ozzie Smith? Duh.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So I'll pass. I don't know Ozzie. I used to know him just a very little bit 30 years ago because there was some charity work that he was doing in Colombia, and he doesn't even remember that. I mean, I barely remember it, quite candidly. But we show up. Here's the funny thing. So Tom Ackerman could not play because there was a blues game on Tuesday, so he had to do the blues stuff, right? So Jeff let me take a friend of mine, my friend Luke, who actually played in the fall with Bill Kaufman and I out there. And he shows up where I'm at the range hitting balls. And let me just back up just a little bit. You've never played golf with me, Dave.
Okay. No.
I am terrible. I mean, terrible to the point where it was getting so frustrating. And I have to thank Adam Betts at Family Golf because he's my instructor and he's been trying to help me and he has been helping me. But it's been a slow grind. So
it's a tough sport.
You know, I used to play many, many years ago. I played and had a lot of fun with it. And then I took about 13 years off, maybe played a handful of times in some scrambles, and came out of retirement a year ago. But I played on Saturday morning. My birthday was Saturday. Played in Anbrier. Beautiful course. I'd never played there before. It was something I wanted to do. And I played on Monday at Aberdeen. Now, the reason I was doing that is to prepare for Tuesday.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I'm like, I got it. And it was
you got to look good in front of Ozzie.
I just didn't want to be humiliated, right? I honestly did not want. It wasn't Ozzie. It's just like, look, you don't want to play. He's a good golfer. You don't want to play where you're, you know, crossing the course and having to find balls all the
right.
time. So I wish people even listening right now could have the perspective of how poorly I was playing the last few times I played. Actually, the
you've
whole
told
spring.
Me.
Terrible. Yeah. Like, let me just give for people who play golf. So tee shot, right, with a driver. I'm really good at just topping the ball and just skipping it barely past the ladies' tees. And I can hit occasionally, but if you go back to several rounds, the majority of the shots were terrible. And then you get out there, your second shot, you try to recover. I am probably someone who scores between 95 and 105. And I've never really been able to break 90. I've broken 90 a couple of times, you know, but three times in my entire span of golfing. So here I am trying to get better. I'm taking the lessons. Adam's great. I'm not very smart, so I'm not doing what he tells me to do, even though what he tells me to do is right. And I'm just in panic mode to the point where Carol even emailed me on Monday and said, hey, have fun with Ozzie. And I'm like, I'm thinking about calling in sick.
Oh, because no.
I'm not exaggerating that because I was so frustrated with my play. And you know how it is. It's very mental. So I'm playing with Jeff Rainford on Monday, and I've played with Jeff several times, good golfer, and he tells me, you got to get your shoulders around. He's kind of coaching me on the course. I'm like, all right. And I'm taking wax at it, and I was basically just playing to try to practice on Monday. And then I went to the range on Monday night. I went to Family Golf, and I worked something out. So I get up there on Tuesday at Belle Reve, and you have 18 holes in golf, Dave, right?
Right. Last time I checked.
I only skipped one ball off the tee poorly the entire round, and that was on a par three where I put a 5-iron into the water. I'm pretty good at that. I think a lot of golfers are that. Every other shot, every tee shot with my driver, I've never done this in my life, okay? And my friend Luke, who I was referring to, who basically shows up on Tuesday, and he was the late invite, right? He shows up. I'm at the range, circling back to that, and he says, hey, you know who's over there? And by the way, Luke's got his Cardinals hat on and a red Cardinals shirt. And I'm like, oh, look at him, super fan, right? So he goes, hey, you know, that's Ozzie Smith over there. I'm like, yeah, we're playing with him today.
So he had no idea.
Well, he's an idiot, and he didn't listen to me, apparently, because a few weeks ago I told him about this, but at that point he was not invited. It was Tom and Ozzie and Jeff.
Sure.
And so I'm like, yeah, we're playing with him today. Well, then he gets all nervous, and I'm just terrified because I just don't want it to be a terrible day. But lo and behold, the golf gods somehow, I don't think I'm even going to be able to replicate this because I get to 17 where Tiger put his ball in the creek. Remember Dave King?
Sure, our, absolutely.
The big voice that you hear at the top of every hour on all the IDs, and he's the guy that does the, you know, the stuff for me as well. Like, what is, what's one that we can use here? Here, let's see.
What you're about to hear is real. The participants.
That's Dave's voice. That's something for actually we might use tomorrow. So on 17, I get there. I'm like, man, I haven't hit a bad drive today. I'm
oh,
like, the
don't
whole day.
Say that.
Right. So then I hit one and it was fine. And then I'm at 18 and I'm in my mind because, you know, I'm just not a positive person. I'm thinking, there's no way I'm gonna shank this one. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. And it was almost like, this is hard to describe. I don't know if anyone can even relate to this, but you try to relax. You get to your backswing. My brain literally short circuits when I'm hitting the ball.
Horrible thing to do
during
golf,
too. I don't see the impact. It's almost like I see a bunch of stars in my head. And then I look up, and usually the ball's like 40 yards in front of me. I'm not really even exaggerating that, just from what happens in my head. But I get to 18, and I hit the shot, and somehow I did not humiliate myself. And Ozzie was great. He really was. But the thing about it was, and I think that golfers will be able to relate to this, we were focused on playing. You know, there was certainly some talking that was going on, certainly at the tee boxes, but Ozzie's he's a professional athlete. He's focused, and he wanted to play a great round of golf, which, by the way, he did. And my thanks to the folks at Belle Reve and Jeff Drew, the king, who invited me out. And I'm very appreciative of Ozzie being so nice. He's just one of those kind souls.
Yeah.
He really is, and he's had that reputation well-deserved. I really regret, and he probably wouldn't have wanted me to do this, and I would have asked him, I think, but I did not record his golf swing, which is very interesting. Some people out there may have seen it because he does celebrity tournaments and everything, but he lifts up his left leg. Now, I don't think you're supposed to do that, but he lifts it up, and then he bears down on the ball. You ever see Jim Furyk hit a golf ball?
Yes.
Very unique swing.
Right.
Ozzie's is somewhat like that, but he lifts the front leg up, and then he just whacks it like a baseball bat, go figure, and smashes the living you-know-what out of it.
But his swing's not like Charles Barkley bad, is it?
No, it's a great swing. It's just different.
It's different
because he sort of lifts that leg up, and then he swings. It seems like he swings up high. Anyway, he's a good golfer, really good. I don't know what his handicap is, but I would put him at maybe a 4.
Do you regret at all not doing a backflip when you made a putt in front of Ozzie?
I do. I do regret that.
Do you regret when you hit a good drive saying, Reardon hits one down the right side of the fairway, go crazy, folks?
I probably could have done that.
Okay.
Yeah. I could have done that. Yeah. But one thing that was fun, there was a hole, I think it was the 12th hole during the PGA that was a drivable par 4 for even those guys. And they changed up the tee boxes and the pin placement a little bit. So that's a hole that has on the right side some water, and you get it down the left side, you can go onto the green. So Luke's a big hitter, although the king was calling him Tyler, so we started calling him Tyler. So did Ozzie. And he hits this amazing shot within 4 feet, 3 feet of the hole on his drive. So he's got an eagle putt. Ozzie puts one not too far from that, but he's maybe got a 5-foot putt. So he putts for birdie. He gets the birdie. Luke can be, because we were doing a little skins, you know, on the side too, just to have a little fun. And I think Ozzie was on my team. We rotated. We did six holes. So we want to win that hole, and he starts trash talking Tyler, aka Luke, a little bit too, and he missed the eagle putt.
Oh, the wizard.
The Wizard was not unhappy, nor was I. It was a great day. And, you know, they're closing that place down for like a year and a half.
Are they really?
They rebuild everything, so.
Because of the PGA?
No. This was something I think okay. that, I don't know all the details of that, but there was a lot of concern leading up to the PGA about the quality of the greens.
Right,
and all
I remember that.
You remember some of that. So they're going to take care of that. But it was an awesome day, and my thanks to the Wizard. It, one thing that was funny, I went out a couple weeks ago, and I found by myself, I was in the woods, no surprise, after hitting a bad shot. And I literally found like 30 golf balls and that were used in the woods, and some of them were in pretty good shape. So I started giving them to my daughter in the bathtub, and she would clean them up, and she had a great time with it. And the balls are sitting in like a Tupperware container on top of where I feed the dogs. And she noticed that there were like a dozen, 15 balls in there, and now there's only 3 balls because Dad has not been using them on the course, but I go on my front yard and I hit up into the woods trying not to break my neighbor's basketball hoop or a window or anything like that, but I'll just...
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, I'll just smash some balls. So my daughter, this is so cute, she goes, did Ozzie Smith take some of my golf balls? At first, I didn't even hear what she said. She's like, did Ozzie, because she wasn't saying...
Yeah.
I said, what did she say? Did Ozzie Smith, because I didn't even talk to her specifically about that, but she heard me conversing with other people.
That's so funny.
Did Ozzie Smith take, no, Ozzie did not do that. Dad lost them all in the woods, which is what he's really good at. But anyways, a great time at Belle Reve on Tuesday. I'm thinking about just quitting though.
Well, yeah, this might be the highlight of your career. You can't top this.
People who play golf will know this. I can't probably, hopefully, but I can probably go out this weekend and not replicate what I did.
And look like crap again.
By the way, people are going to say, well, what'd you shoot? I'm going to tell you what I shot. Fast greens, all right, so keep that in mind.
Right.
I told you where I usually... Take a guess.
I'm going to say you... Well, you said you're barely reaching 100. I would say 96.
Dude, that's it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was like... Wow, you nailed it. I didn't tell you
either. To be fair, no, you never told me that.
Okay, 52 and 44, but my back nine was pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's not, I didn't think it was too bad, especially with the greens being so fast.
Yeah.
So
greens can make a big difference.
Man, can you tell me what the lottery numbers are for tonight or for the Powerball tomorrow?
Then I won't be here tomorrow.
We're coming back in a moment.
It's more than just a conversation. It's your voice with Mark Reardon on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, Friday tomorrow, so we have a Reardon Roundtable. Jane Duker will be here. Also, former State Senator Jeff Smith, Gene Evans, who is now the executive director of the Republican Party in the state of Missouri, depending on where you are. Of course, if you're in rural Missouri, you have to, I think it's like the law, you have to say Missouri. Coming up in the next segment, I had this conversation. We waited until today because the movie opens tonight, which is based on a true story that happened here in St. Charles at Lake St. Louis. Breakthrough is the movie. It's the story of John Smith, who fell through the ice on MLK Day in 2016, I think, 2015. And he was underwater for 15 minutes. And Chrissy Metz from This Is Us is one of the stars. She plays his mom. And Marcel Ruiz plays John. We sat down with everyone that was involved with the movie a couple of weeks ago at the Four Seasons, and I'll have some of that interview tomorrow on Great Day St. Louis in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to play some of what Chrissy told me in just a couple of minutes here on KMOX. So interesting news this afternoon that the NAACP has endorsed the proposal that Better Together has put out to merge the city and the county. My buddy John Gaskin, who is in charge of the St. Louis County NAACP, is with us this afternoon to talk about that endorsement. John, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you for having me, as always.
So this is interesting to me from a couple of different perspectives, because you have Starsky Wilson, who was in charge of the Ferguson Commission, really blasting this particular plan, even referring to it, I thought inappropriately, as a form of apartheid, because it seemingly would, I'll use the word, disenfranchise voters in impoverished parts of the city, North St. Louis, who didn't really select the person who might be representing them, whoever that person might be. Maybe it's Steve Stenger, maybe it's not. So what perspective were you coming from on this, John, and maybe explain the differences between what Starsky said and why you're coming out in favor of this?
Well, I can't really speak to Reverend Wilson's opposition to the plan, but I can speak to why we have decided to support it. We're supporting it because of the economic development opportunities that could potentially come about with a unified form of government We're supporting it because of Universal and One Metropolitan Metro Police Department with uniform standards for accountability. We're supporting it because of municipal court reform, as you remember from Tony Messenger's series of articles on debtors' prisons. That is a major issue for people of color in underrepresented communities. As you know, when those fines don't get paid, people go to jail and they have real consequences. We became an international news story over our some of our poorly run municipal police departments and municipal courts and the saddles that it's placed on the backs of poor people or disadvantaged people in our region. And it's time for it to stop, and we need change. And this proposal can bring about that change.
So, look, John, I love you. You know that. And I actually wouldn't take issue with the support of the proposal because I still like more about it than I dislike. But I think what people are going to point to here is, and you can tell me if this is true, you're a paid consultant for the campaign that's pushing the merger, right?
I am. And the part that I want to make sure it's very clear to the public is we are a membership organization. We're an organization that has several standing committees. And this particular issue went through what's called the Political Action Committee that looks at issues such as ballot measures or issues that will have political impacts on issues that we as an organization care about. They put forth a recommendation to the executive committee, and consent for support of this was unanimous from our leadership on our executive committee. And so this is a proposal that was vetted, was looked at, a robust discussion took place. And so I do want to be clear so that your listeners are aware, we are a volunteer organization. We have no paid staff. All of us who are officers are volunteers. And in addition to that, we are a membership organization. At the end of the day, we are accountable to our membership. And I actually serve as chair of what is called the executive committee, which governs a branch.
Don't you, though, personally have problems with, you know, because I think there's a couple of things that you can dial in on, and I think that's what a lot of people in our area are focusing on. One is the fact that, you know, it could certainly be a plan that fails in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, but still passes statewide, which sends a bit of a troubled message, I think. So let's address that first and foremost. Do you not have an issue with that?
Well, what I will say is this. Our hope, and one of the reasons that we're supporting this plan, is because we are partnering with the campaign side to have a robust discussion in our community, to talk with community stakeholders, whether it be clergy, whether it be African-American and minority business owners, of what the pros are of this plan. Having those discussions, talking with millennial voters, talking with young African-American, young professionals here in the region, that's what we're going to be doing. And it's my hope that people would be willing to listen, to be informed, because one of the things, as I was talking with my vice president just a few moments ago, is one of the things that's become abundantly clear is, you know, in terms of face value, when people look at the plan, obviously they have skepticism about it. They have reservations about it. But when you drill down on the details, when you look at what's happening in cities like Nashville, what's happening in cities like Indianapolis, you know, we're continuing to be literally left on the wayside and passed up due to brain drain and the fact that people are not staying here. You know, at one point, the city of St. Louis had over a million people. Now it's down to 300-something thousand. I'm sure to be down after the next census count. And the county used to have over a million. And even now, its population is going down. What we're doing is not working. It's time for change. I'm a 26-year-old president of this branch. This impacts my generation probably more than it would others. And I'm all about working alongside other folks that want to work with us to inform the community on this plan, because what we're doing, the status quo, is not working for our community.
Would you have a response? And I know your explanation. I heard your explanation about the differences between what you do as a volunteer with the NAACP and how the proposal was vetted. But Vervis Jones is quoted in the Business Journal as saying, because you're being paid as a consultant, Better Together just bought a civil rights organization.
You know, I find that comment to be wildly inappropriate, and I'm a little little concerned that he would make that sort of accusation. What I will say is this: it is not uncommon for groups to work on ballot measures to engage their membership and engage their constituencies. For example, we look at Clean Missouri. We look at organizations like Metropolitan Congregations United, groups like NARAL, groups like the Sierra Club. This, quite frankly, is no different. You know, this happened with Prop A. It's happened with Clean Missouri. It's happened with stem cell research. I mean, the list, if we want to start looking at ethics reports and looking at interest groups who have done community outreach on issues, we'd be talking on your show for the rest of the week.
Fair enough. Do you have, you know, and I saw, we haven't talked about this in 2 months now, but is there an update at all from your perspective at the NAACP on the Kevin Steincross situation, which he's still sitting on the sidelines? I saw Kevin a couple of weeks ago. My offer stands that if you guys want to get together, I can arrange that. But is there anything that has changed on your end at the NAACP on that?
I tell you what, we've had, as you can imagine, there's been a lot taking place in St. Louis. And so we've had some very robust conversations with our leadership team about the matter. I was just talking today with someone there from the station where they were talking about the diversity training, the bias training that's taken place there. I think there's definitely an opportunity for us to have a conversation around what his future looks like at the station. Because let's look at it. People make mistakes. Things happen. I'm not going to go into details regarding our position on the matter, but as I've said before, I'm open to having a conversation with him about what occurred and how we can move forward.
Well, if I can help with that,
not only as a community, but as a region.
I don't think Kevin's bosses don't want me getting involved speaking for him, and I'm not doing that, but he's a friend, and I certainly would be willing to, facilitate anything. John, I'm running late on news. Carol's going to throw things at me. You know how she gets, so I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Take care.
It.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Blues and Jets, tied at 2 wins apiece. Now get ready for Game 5 tonight. Pre-game skate at 7. The puck drops at 7:30. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
All right, I have the Chrissy Metz interview coming up here in just a second, but let me just chime in a little bit on what John Gaskin said a few minutes ago, the head of the St. Louis County NAACP. First and foremost, on the Kevin Steincross situation, it's just ridiculous. And I've told John this over the phone when it all happened. He's playing a role right now. He's got a constituency. But what Kevin did was simply a mistake, and he should not be punished. And this poor guy is still on the sidelines. He's not working. He's getting paid. But this is his career and his life on the line. And I got worked up about it a couple of months ago. That was not what I invited John to come on about today. But something's got to be settled there, and I don't know what it is. And I like this guy a lot. And, I took notice of him in the aftermath of Ferguson because he was young. He was like 22 years old. He was on my roundtable for several years, still is a panelist. But the more I find out about everyone getting paid for it, I want to get paid for it better together. You drag me in for a meeting, and I like a lot of what's in here, but the hell, if I'm going to do it for free anymore, everyone else is getting a paycheck. Right? So that's my personal, this might violate ethics policy here at Intercom St. Louis. We'll have to see. Dave, can you get the legal team to get involved in that one a little bit? But I'm not going to talk about this thing in a positive way unless I'm getting a check from now on. That seems only fair. Everyone else is getting paid, right? So that's my position on that. Better together. I'm only half joking about that too. It's getting ridiculous. I keep asking Rex Sinkfield, every time I see Rex Sinkfield, I say, can you write me a check? He's writing people like $250,000, $500,000 checks, just a little. $30,000 I'd take. All right. Chrissy Metz, she's the star of This Is Us and a very, very popular show, and she's famous. I do not watch that show, but she was just lovely in person a few weeks ago at the Four Seasons when Marcel Ruiz, her co-star in this movie Breakthrough, which opened, I guess, technically yesterday. It's the true story of what happened here in St. Charles County on Lake St. Louis in 2015. It was MLK Day in 2015, and John Smith was out of school. He was playing with his friends on the frozen lake. He fell through. You'll sort of hear a clip here from the movie.
Boys, get off the ice. Not safe.
Oh. 14-year-old male, unresponsive and pulseless.
Everyone clear?
No pulse.
There's nothing more we can do. Joyce Smith?
Yes.
We're doing everything we can.
Yeah, Joy Smith is John's mom. She wrote the book that this movie was based on. It really is an amazing story. This kid's under the ice for 15 minutes. They perform CPR. He goes into the hospital, and doctors don't give him a chance at all. So here's my conversation with Marcel, who plays John Smith, and Chrissy Metz, who plays his mom in the movie. Breakthrough is the name of the movie, and of course it opens up. Well, it is. It's opened in St. Louis. It actually did pretty well at the box office yesterday.
Let's talk about this movie. Yeah. And it's such an emotional movie. And Chrissy, I don't believe, I can check this maybe on IMDb, so correct me, have you ever played a mom before?
Well, no. Yeah. No, I haven't. The interesting thing is, spoiler alert if people are not caught up on This Is Us, but when Kate Pearson, the character I play, had a miscarriage, I obviously hadn't met a mom at that point. And then now, of course, playing Joy Smith, a real person, I was then able to inform my character on This Is Us with playing a mom through Breakthrough. So it's interesting how the universe works.
So Joy Smith, what about Joy Smith? I met her. She has such great things to say about you. How did that relationship develop and help you, you know, in this role, play this role?
You know, we were able to meet the family probably 2 weeks into filming. And so we didn't have a lot of time, but it was a very surreal experience. I remember it was sort of, you know, we're portraying them on the big screen, but it was like a mirror of, you know, we're both watching each other and then just embracing the moment. And it was kind of magical. And she started tearing up. Of course, I started tearing up. And she just, she's so loving and kind and funny. And I was like, okay, I got to get this right. And so luckily, they both, John and Joyce, were very happy with our portrayal. But, you know, not having spent as much time with her as one might have liked, I just really tried to capture the essence of the mama bear, of the devotion and the unwavering love that she has, you know, for her son and for her family and her faith. So it was pretty magical.
She told me that at one point she heard a voiceover for a trailer and she thought she had done it because she's like, wait, when did I do that? And it was you.
Wow. I know. I freaked out when Devon told me that. I was like, so much, you know, it was the nicest things that she could have said. I'm so grateful because, you know, as I've said before, you know, we're actors, but this is their life and we want and we need to get it right. So, and John was obviously very pleasantly surprised.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, Marcel, so you did a great job in this movie.
Thank you so much.
And what did you, how did this come to you? I mean, I know that there's a process with agents and scripts and things like that, but obviously this is a big story here in St. Louis. And, you know, I told the family too, I think a lot of people, their memories will be refreshed because it was a while ago and we forget. The news cycle is pretty quick these days, you know. So how does this project come to you and what made you want to do it?
Well, I had to do a total of like 7 auditions.
Wow.
And that's the most auditions I've ever done for anything. They flew me to Winnipeg where we filmed the movie, and I was just like all over the place. Just, it was a lot. But what made me love this movie was all the aspects that it had. It wasn't just about one thing. It had everything I liked. Honestly, it was based on a true story, which is something that I've always wanted to do. It had basketball. It was gonna be the first time I like got to act with other kids my age. So it was just something that once you got into the character, and once I saw videos of John and met him, I felt like I was just living his life and his life for like 2 months. So that's really what I liked about the movie.
What was it like filming the water scenes? I'm guessing maybe the water's a little warmer than the way it was in real life, but what was that like?
It was a process. This is what, we filmed, there was like two different days. It was one on top of the ice, that's when they take me out, and that's when we're playing around on top of the ice, and then the other is in the water, which we filmed in a 20-foot tank. And so there were two tanks, a 5 foot one, and then the deep stuff, it was in a 20 foot one. But the one on the lake, on the ice, that was real ice, and I had to be like full wet in a t-shirt, and it was like negative 19 degrees in Winnipeg, something like that.
This guy.
And that was the first day of shooting for me, the first one. So I felt like that was a good warm up. But that was crazy, and that's like really what hit me to. I feel like I went through that, and if that was hard for me, I couldn't imagine how it was for John.
What about this lady as your mom? How much fun was that?
It was so fun. It was so much fun. Since the first time I met her at the chemistry meet and the audition, we just like connected. We have amazing chemistry, and it was just hard to be mean to her in the movie because we're always like best friends, singing, having fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you meet co-stars and you hope that you get along, and especially, you know, kids. You never know with kids.
Right.
No, and Marcel, I'm just so proud of him, and it was so great to watch him.
But you're used to working with difficult people like Sterling K. Brown from
difficult. He's an angel baby from the heavens. I mean, yeah, and it's so funny because he was like, you were in my hometown. Sterling. No, I thank goodness I have worked with really incredible people, but I am beyond impressed with Marcel. I mean, I couldn't even string a sentence together at his age to see what he's doing.
I still can't.
I don't think I can. Let's be honest. Somebody's in my ear. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was so much fun. And you have to bring sort of these lighter moments in between what we're doing. And what's so cool is that Joyce and John have this relationship. You know, they're always ribbing each other and joking. And so it's very similar in the relationship.
Chrissy Metz from This Is Us talking about Breakthrough. The movie opened yesterday and it's doing pretty well at the box office. They say Christian-themed movie. It's just a great story. I'll review it tomorrow on Great Day St. Louis and on KMOX at 420.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. This is really hard to believe. 20 years ago today, the Columbine Massacre.
We have reports that there were at least two people, perhaps more, who walked into the building at about 11:30 Mountain Time today in Littleton, Colorado at the Columbine High School, dressed in trench coats and started firing at a number of students in the packed cafeteria as well as the library and other areas of the school. You can see the shattered glass there on the top left-hand side of the screen. There were also some explosions that were heard. Not known at this point if the gunmen had grenades.
That is John Roberts doing the report on that day 20 years ago. Here are some of the students returning this week.
It truly is like home. Everybody just checks up on each other.
I think if you had asked me when I was a senior, I would have said, yeah, I'm never coming back. But to find meaning and purpose out of a tragedy and not let it break you is really powerful.
Chris, are you a different kind of a teacher because of Columbine?
Oh, well, yeah. The fact that I'm a teacher at all is because of Columbine. So how I model myself in the classroom is based off 1999.
I remember our first day back into the building. All of the parents lined the sidewalk. So as we were walking in, it just felt like there was protection all around us. And that was really powerful. That gave me a better understanding of the strength and resiliency of the community.
That's audio from the Today Show this morning. Of course, what's interesting is the 20th anniversary was marked in a bit of a different way because you had this 18-year-old woman that flew across the country. She was infatuated with the massacre. Who knows what she would have done? But thankfully, she put a bullet in her own head yesterday. Total Information PM is coming up.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.